Jesus told many stories, and I believe he did so because people remember stories, stories especially about people. The grandchildren and I just listened to a story, Mark Twain, Huckleberry Finn, which had a great impact on slavery in the United States and the abolition of it. And this morning I would like to share with you another story that Jesus told, but this point from a different viewpoint, from the viewpoint of the innkeeper, who is one of the perhaps minor characters in the story. If we were traveling and stayed at a hotel or an inn and met an innkeeper, he may tell us this story, which happened many, many years ago in a foreign country. This was a land in which there were no hospitals. A man, a traveler, came into a small inn carrying another man who was unconscious. The unconscious man was wrapped in a blanket, and the innkeeper could see that the man was bruised and bandaged. He told the innkeeper that he found this man lying by the side of the road, a dusty road, and the man was full of dust. And this was a dusty road that led through the wilderness. The traveler told the innkeeper that when he found the man had no clothes, no possessions, no wallet, no identification. He had been beaten badly and mumbled something about other people and being robbed. Then he went unconscious, most probably because he was lying in the sun without shade and without water. The traveler told the innkeeper, who was an older gray-haired man, who had no idea who the man was or that he needed to be taken care of. The innkeeper asked the traveler,
"Where did you find him?"
The traveler described the location on the 17-mile road which led from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that road had deep canyons and hills and a lot of places to hide.
"There have been many robberies and assaults in that area. It's very dangerous on that road. What do you want me to do? Are you going to leave him here? Does he have clothes on under that blanket?"
The traveler pulled back just part of the blanket so that the innkeeper could see that the traveler had bandaged the man's wounds. The traveler repeated that the man he found was stripped of all his clothes, beaten without any money, possessions, or identification, and when he found him, the man was half dead. The traveler said he pitied the man when he found him by the side of the road. He had to help him. The traveler said, "When I bandaged his wounds, I also poured oil and wine on them to take away any pain and also to prevent infection. Then I put him on my own animal and I brought him here to your inn. I would like a room for him, but I need to leave tomorrow."
"But he has no money, so he can't stay here."
"Don't worry, I will pay," said the traveler. The next day the traveler paid the gray-haired... We'll try that again. The next day, the traveler paid the gray-haired innkeeper some money in advance and told the innkeeper, "Take care of him," when he added, "When I come back, I will repay you more than you ever spend." Some weeks later, the traveler returned to the inn. He asked about the man that he brought in. The innkeeper said that he had left some days ago and to thank him for all he did. Then the innkeeper told the traveler, who was a Samaritan, this.
"He remembered that two people had passed by him before he was unconscious. The first was a temple priest who was going down that road. And when he saw him, the priest passed by on the other side. He avoided even walking close to him. Then likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he also passed by on the other side. He too avoided getting close to him. If Samaritans, Galileans, and Judeans are all descendants from Abraham, and all read the law of Moses, which states in the book of Deuteronomy, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might.' And elsewhere in the law of Moses it states, 'Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. And in the book of Leviticus, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which Moses said are the words of God himself. I don't understand how those two just passed him by.
The traveler tried to explain to the innkeeper that the law of Moses in the book of Numbers states that the task of the Levites and priests is to make atonement for the people. The traveler added, maybe he didn't want to be defiled because Levites had to wash their clothes and purify themselves from sin because it is their duty under the law.
Okay, Barry, I know you just told the story of the Good Samaritan from the viewpoint of the innkeeper. How did that story come about?
What happened was that a scripture lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Actually, he was really trying to trick Jesus, to fool him. What is interesting is that the lawyer, who was an expert in the law of Moses, which is the Torah, and knew it from memory, actually stood up in front of Jesus as Jesus was teaching. By standing up, he was physically confronting Jesus. He was very rude. Then he asked Jesus a question, and before he did so, while standing in the midst of the crowd, he addressed Jesus as teacher, and I'm going to guess somewhat sarcastically.
Why do you think the lawyer was sarcastic there?
Because the lawyer had credentials from the temple, while Jesus had no formal training, and therefore in the scripture lawyer's mind, Jesus was just a traveling preacher from a small village in Galilee. But the question that the lawyer asked had an interesting twist, because this is what he asked Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Why do you use the word inherit?
I think he did so because he knew that we can make money by working or by being the child of a rich person. If you worked, you earned money. But if you were the child of a rich person who died, then you became wealthy just because you were lucky enough to be born to a rich family. I think the people listening to the lawyer's question really knew that he was trying to trick Jesus, to fool him. Remember what the gray-haired innkeeper asked the traveler about the law of Moses?
Yes, he reminded the traveler to love the Lord alone and with all your might. And since there will never cease to be someone in need on the earth, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves.
And that is exactly how Jesus responded to the tricky lawyer who was trying to fool Jesus. Because Jesus then asked the lawyer, what is written in the law? How do you read it? The lawyer was standing there with the crowd looking at him and waiting to hear his answer. He had to answer properly in accord with the law of Moses, and he told Jesus what is in the Torah. He was a scripture expert. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Then Jesus told the lawyer standing right in front of him, you have given the right answer. I think at this point the lawyer was quite embarrassed because instead of tricking Jesus, Jesus forced the lawyer to repeat what God wants of us. And then Jesus added to his answer by telling the lawyer, do this and you will live.
What do you think he meant by to live?
Well, Jesus was continually preaching that the kingdom of God is near. It's here. And Jesus told us, he was teaching us so that his joy may be complete in us and that our joy may be complete if we follow what Jesus was teaching. Jesus wants God to be part of our lives and wants us to share in God's happiness. Jesus even told many stories, but another short story, which was a comparison, is this. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and then hid back in the field. Then in his joy, that person who found the treasure went and sold everything he had in order to buy that field so he could have that treasure. So we too, like the lawyer, what the lawyer asked for was eternal life with God. And we give all of what we have in our joy to have that field, that place where God is.
Why did Jesus talk about the Samaritans?
Because they were not considered pure. They had intermarried with the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the rest of the Israelites had a strong prejudice against them. The rest of that answer belongs in a Bible class. But what I find fascinating is that the lawyer was also prejudiced against the Samaritans.
Why do you think that?
Because when he answers Jesus' question, which is this, Jesus asks, which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The lawyer answered, the one who showed him mercy. He never wanted to call him Samaritan. He just called him the one. But then Jesus told the lawyer standing in front of him and the crowd and us, go and do likewise. We are to perform works of mercy.
Wait, you mean we're regardless of class or race or condition or hurt?
Yes, even religion, how people look, actually everything. Jesus was clear that everyone is our neighbor. We can make people great. We can also make people feel not great. We see and learn from people, and we teach them patience and love and mercy and compassion. And we are to be creative in how we love our neighbors. For example, we can buy a kit. Years ago, it was a kit from Revell. Now it's a Lego kit. And we can see all the different parts and read a description of how to put all these Lego parts together, how they all fit together. We can make a building or a spaceship or a car. But we can take our own little individual parts of who we are and with our own individual parts create our own buildings and our own spaceships and our own vehicles. And I think what God wants us to do is love with all our hearts. And our hearts are like full of Lego kits. And we are to love what's inside of us, our character. We're to love with all of our minds, and our minds, again, are just full of these Lego pieces, which means acknowledging knowledge and understanding. And we're to love with all of our soul and everything that our soul is. And finally, with all of our strength, and just as our body has so many muscles in our body, again, just all like a big Lego kit, we're to love with all our strength and our energy and our might and our resolve. We are to love tenaciously. We're to take the building blocks that we have, our old personal Lego blocks, if you will, and with and in God's loving grace, help build God's kingdom on this earth. Someone described life this way. Said, well, life is a game. But if that's true, if life is a game, then there are winners and losers. However, life is not a game. We're all in this same boat together. One final story. There was a man whose name was Paulinus. He was born over 1,700 years ago. That's about 300 AD. He wrote that civilization was crashing down around him. Some people feel that way now. Remember your history class and what was going on at that time. And some people feel again that our world is crashing down just like Paulinus did in 300 AD. So Paulinus decided, as only one individual, that all he could do is to keep a candle lit in a shrine in his home. When people came to visit, they asked Paulinus about his burning candle. And he told them that it reminded him that we can't live by bread alone, but must be reborn in the Spirit, in the light of Christ. And that the relationship between people is one of brothers and sisters, each equally loved by God who created us. And just as every candle he lit was somehow different in how it burned, how it gave off scent, and how the amount of light it gave, so each of us has difference in intelligence and beauty and strength. Actually, in everything else, we're different. We're all different in every way that we can possibly be different, but we're still brothers and sisters. So Paulinus added that if we really followed Christ, then the light of His and our divinity would show. Bill, I'm finished. Would you like to add anything to today's message?
I guess I would repeat what Jesus said. Do all of this. Love God and your neighbor. And we will live as Christians, as Jesus wants us to live.
Amen.